Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. This is ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80, your podcast, your smart speaker. All right, we're going to continue the conversation on the Giants firing Jason Garrett. Key, you were just talking about this with DiPietro and Rothenberg. So here's what Dan Graziano said on This Just In. I'm not sure if you're aware of this new show, This Just In, on ESPN at 2 p.m. Key, very handsome host, articulate, really, really good. This is what Dan Graziano said yesterday on This Just In.
What I'm hearing a lot is we need to get the ball to our best players more. We need, you know, so they feel like they have the pieces there to produce on offense and that they just weren't getting it done. So we'll see if, assuming it's Freddie Kitchens, if they can get it to Kenny Golladay and Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney more reliably than they were
Tony.
With Garrett.
Feed Toney.
Yeah, Key, it does seem like they got the pieces, but the pieces aren't getting the ball.
Well, that's one of the reasons that Jason Garrett is no longer the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants, because he didn't put players in the positions to succeed, and the quarterback was put in the position to fail and not succeed. And this is the true values of it. When you have players, you need offensive coordinators, as I've talked about many times on this show and others, to put guys in the right positions to succeed. That's just the bottom line. A lot of times, guys hire the wrong people for the wrong reasons, and then they wind up having themselves put in a bad position to be fired after the coordinator. You know, maybe you say, okay, I fired a coordinator. Now let's see if I can get it turned around to save my job. It doesn't mean that Joe Judge is out of the weeds either.
Okay, I heard what you said on the show before, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, after the first year, I thought Jason Garrett was done. I thought it was a mistake by Joe Judge to bring him back. I also thought it was another mistake after that, that right before the bye week, they decided to not do this before. They should have done this then. I do give them credit for actually doing it. And one of the things I will say for Joe Judge that actually makes me want to give him a chance is that he chose the players over the coaches in the scheme, right? But I don't think Freddie Kitchens is the answer here. And I know he's the guy that will serve potentially as intern offensive coordinator to do this job. But taking me from Jason Garrett to Freddie Kitchens, seeing what he did with the Browns, I'm like, okay. But, Key, I heard you guys talk about a guy like Todd Haley. And one of the things that you said is Joe Judge has to be secure enough in who he is to handle a personality like Todd Haley. Do you think Joe Judge could be that secure, considering the coaching tree he came from, to let go a lot more of the offense to a guy who has a strong personality like Haley?
Well, Joe Judge doesn't run the offense. He's just a head coach. I think he's more of a CEO-type head coach. I don't know Joe Judge's personality. I don't know him at all. But I think what happens with Todd, for instance, who if I took a job tomorrow, he'd be my offense coordinator. Okay, and that's because I know him, and I know his personality, and I know how to handle him and deal with him personally. When I look at his track record and his history in calling plays, there's nobody better in the National Football League. He is on the outside right now and in the league because he did it to himself. When he took the Cleveland Brown job and had an issue with Hugh Jackson, and it was chaotic. In Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh offense and the Steelers, Antonio Brown became a Hall of Fame wide receiver because of Todd Haley. Todd Haley coached the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl, not Ken Whisenhunt. Todd Haley did that, calling plays, along with Larry Fitzgerald and Kurt Warner. When he was at the Kansas City Chiefs as a head coach, Matt Castle became a Pro Bowler. Dwayne Bowe was on the verge of becoming a Pro Bowler. So he knows offenses and play calling and all of those different dynamics. The problem with him is, can Joe Judge understand his personality? Because he could be high-strung at times. And if you're okay with that throughout the course of the week, you should be okay with it on Sundays. That's the type of coordinator you need with a young quarterback. Kurt Warner went from the Giants to the Cardinals and became an instant success in a Super Bowl appearing quarterback again under that tutelage. I mean, so when you start to think about it, Ben Roethlisberger had some of his best years under the tutelage of Todd Haley. But a lot of times in the National Football League, people start whispering, oh, he can't get along with anybody. They just put stuff out there. You know how it is. And so people form and shape this narrative, which I think is wrong if you're looking for somebody to do great wonders and great things for your program.
Max, can I ask you a question as a Giants fan?
Yep.
When I say these three names, I want you to tell me if you trust our franchise in the hands of these three individuals. Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge, Daniel Jones.
No. I think that Daniel Jones might be a solid NFL quarterback. But when that's your ceiling, I'm already done with you. I'm not interested in gunning for solid, especially if you take a quarterback with a sixth pick in the draft, you should be aiming for the Hall of Fame. If not, then you don't get him in the sixth pick of the draft, right? And then I would say Joe Judge, the jury is out. I wouldn't say that, oh, my God, he's passing with flying colors. And Gettleman, hell no. Like, the end of the Jerry Reese era was awful. Gettleman's had the job for a hot minute now, and it's been years now. And I will say it again, Key, the Giants, like, we could rationalize things. Oh, but if only this and that. 5 seasons without spending a day with an above 500 record. 5 seasons. So there's no excuse. They're just
well,
terrible.
I think they just got to get it right. I think Dave Gettleman has done a pretty decent job collecting talent, unlike the Jets.
What? Key, let's go through it. So let's, with the exception of Kadarius Toney and Andrew Thomas, okay? Daniel Jones, sixth pick. You're giving him an extension? Is that likely or unlikely, Key?
Right now, it's unlikely.
Dexter Lawrence, extension likely? DeAndre Baker,
Saquon
Barkley, extension unlikely. Evan Ingram, extension unlikely. Eli Apple, traded. Eric Flowers, waived. I mean, I can go through the list of all the players that I wrote it down last night. I told you, Max, when I got home.
But you're going to have hits and misses.
But they have more misses than hits.
You're going to have hits and misses. He's done a decent job collecting talent.
He made a bunch of moves in this offseason and did collect some talent in this offseason. The kind of moves you make when you think you're ready to make a run. And they have 3 wins on the season, and they have losing season.
Look,
after losing season.
Here's what I would say: he's done a better job than the New York Jets.
He's
done a better job than the New York Jets.
Yes, thank God I'm not a Jets fan.
So
yes,
basically, with that bad. Being said, are the Giants in the same situations the Jets were in last year with Sam Darnold?
Yeah. Well, here's Dan Orlovsky. On NFL Live, ESPN football analyst, of course, friend of the show. Here's Dan Orlovsky on the issues with Daniel Jones.
But it all comes down to Daniel Jones and his lack of development, or them helping him develop. The problem with Daniel is he still makes the same mistakes way too routinely that he did coming out of college. It's like, for me, it's the anti-Joe Burrow, where, you know, we've seen too consistently where Daniel panics with the football. It's who he was coming out of school, and it hasn't gotten better. And I don't think that they certainly don't believe Jason Garrett's the guy to believe that they can fix it out of the quarterback.
And that's why Jason Garrett is gone, and they need to bring in somebody else. And that was the issue that the Jets had with Sam Darnold. They could never figure out the coaching staff to get him going or surround the right type of talent around him. And I think, regardless of what y'all might feel as wounded Giant fans about Dave Gettleman and what he's been able to do, he's got him with Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney and brought in Ross and Galladay and Shepard and the tight ends, Rudolph, along with Ingram. They got pieces. The offensive line is better. They got to get a better offensive coordinating mind to engineer things so we can get a stronger look at this young quarterback. Whenever you are in flux and don't have that, it looks a certain way to the fan base as if they're not doing a good job. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't get rid of him. All I'm saying is he has put some pieces in place, and now it's up to the coaching staff to get those pieces to do the right things.
Here's the problem with Daniel Jones, okay? or with Gettleman. Let's start with Gettleman. Because if it were me, Gettleman, I never would have hired Gettleman, and he'd have been gone a long time ago. Because he's proven me, for those who are like, don't hire Gettleman, everyone's been proven unequivocally correct. It's taking way too long, and still they're terrible, right? So, like, that's just how it is. It's results-based. And he reached for Daniel Jones in the draft. At that moment, we all knew Gettleman's tenure is tied to Daniel
Jones.
But
it's too late to keep on screaming he reached. You got it now.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when you – let's say, like, if a dude falls to you in the second round, you take him, your GM – like career at that franchise is not tied to that quarterback. But when you reach and take sixth overall a quarterback and people are like, what? Now it's tied to him. Now he started off well, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,000 yards as a rookie with a bad offensive line. So there is some talent there, right? That's something like Sam Darnold never did. So
and then they fired Shermer and they brought in Joe Judge and he hasn't done well because of Jason Garrett.
Well, okay, but now that you are in year three and you're 24 years old and you're 26th in the league in QBR, what I'm saying, Key, is I believe you're probably right. In the right situation, I think Daniel Jones is an NFL starting quarterback. What I'm saying is you can have that. I want a great quarterback. That's the easiest way. It's not that you can't win with a guy like – it's just much less likely.
But you can't get – you act like – y'all kill me, man. Y'all act like Super Bowls are freaking M&Ms and quarterbacks you could just walk down the street and pluck them off a tree.
No.
It doesn't work. There's only – you want a great quarterback. You don't have the assets to go get a great quarterback in this year's draft because there are none.
Wait. But, Key, they do have one of the things, and I would have drafted Justin Fields. But I have to say the Giants did get a haul for that pick. They got a bunch of extra draft picks, high draft picks, that could be useful in swinging a trade for a quarterback if they so desire. And we are going to get into that.
But if you go and you get one of the quarterbacks, the big boys, yes. I'm talking about the big boys, right? If you can get the ones that people think are going to be on the market, the Deshaun Watsons of the world or the Aaron Rodgers of the world, yeah. But is Russell Wilson still a big boy? Is he still a big boy? Or is he just a shell of himself?
Right. Well,
let's be honest with each other.
What I want to know a little bit later on, we're going to do this in a little while, from you, Keyshawn Johnson, is I want to hear Key's real rankings on the quarterbacks who are likely to be on the market. Because the reality is if the Giants were serious – they could go get one of those dudes with the resources they have. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Key will rank his quarterbacks for the Giants in 2022. Which, you know, of the likely targets that could be out there, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract. On America's best network, Straight Talk Wireless. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
This team needs to have everybody together for a long extended period of time for them to get used to playing together.
I thought that LeBron James' elbow was actually trying to knock down his arm, but it accidentally caught Stewart in the eye.
We all know that LeBron's one of the fastest guys in the league and plays the game the right way at all times.
I was surprised. I mean, you know, I didn't think he would get suspended. I don't think anyone thought he was going to be suspended.
You know, we got a game tomorrow. LeBron will be back then, and, you know, we go in Indiana and take care of business.
Oh, man.
Guess what we got for you?
Get that Perk sound just – Perk must have been looking to me the other – listening to me the other day because he sounds just like me on the LeBron situation.
ESPN NBA analyst – Kendrick Perkins on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Big Perk, what's going on,
my good brothers?
What's up, Brandon, man? You sound just like me on the LeBron situation.
I'm trying to tell you, everybody's talking about, yeah, he did it. He had a closed fist. I don't want to hear that. He didn't do it on purpose. He was trying to knock his, Keith. I don't know what people
I would like on. To they see someone whip around a fist and hit Perkins in the eye when you were a player and bust it wide open and see what would happen.
You don't want that to happen.
See what would happen.
Let me talk to you about last night, Perk, against the Knicks. The ninth different starting lineup for the Lakers in 19 games. And I want to ask you, granted, LeBron was out, AD was sick. I get that. But, like, what do the Lakers do that's great? right? Like, what's their signature? You would think for a team that is older that they would have a signature. And I know it's early in the season, but is it post-ups? Is it defense? It doesn't seem like there's an identity when I think about the Lakers thus far.
And Jay, that's the problem. It's not one. And please don't bring up defense, because that's the last thing that's their signature or their identity. And when I'm looking at their team, you know what I realize? They don't have enough role guys. You know what I mean? And I hate to say it, but when you look at a guy like Carmelo Anthony, you know, when you look at a guy like THT, we know that they're capable of having big scoring nights. But at times, that's not what you need on the floor. You need that Caldwell Pope who's going to chase guys over, get up over screens and get into the ball. You need a guy like Alex Caruso who's not going to take a shot but is going to affect the game in every different aspect, and stats that don't show up in the stat that thing and make many plays that don't show up in the stat sheet. So when I look at the Lakers, I'm like, nah, this ain't it right now. I just don't understand. They play too much my-turn basketball. So to your point, Jay, they don't have an identity. They don't have nothing that they do well besides push the pace. And we see what happens with that. They turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm. So how much of a threat do you think the Bulls are in the Eastern Conference? I know they got Zach LaVine and Ball is doing it, and Caruso when he comes back, and you know, they got DeMar DeRozan, and they look good at times, no question about it. But are they a real true threat?
You know what, Keith? Let me say this to you. Before you start off, we got to, one, give our brother Jay Will some credit, because he did tell the world, and I know we're early in the season, but Jay Will did warn us that the Bulls were going to be a top-five team in the Eastern Conference. And you know what's crazy? Is that when you look at DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, they are dangerous. Now, are they going to lose games throughout the regular season? Yes. But are they a team that actually can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? Yes, they are. And the thing that I'm watching is that they play beautiful basketball. They don't care what guy has it going that night. They actually have identity. They actually get out on the fast break and transition. They force turnovers to get easy baskets. And I must say, man, Billy Donovan has done a hell of a job, because I thought when Big Vucevic went out, I thought that they would have a problem. And they didn't. They stuck in the kid Bradley, who I thought has been playing phenomenal in his role. Billy Donovan is getting quality minutes out of AO, out of Illinois, the rookie. You know, when you look at even Derrick Jones Jr., he's playing his role off the bench. So I'm looking at the role guys, and they don't have any, you know, hidden agendas. All they want to do is play winning basketball. So they let Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball get their game off, and they just go out there and make winning plays.
Big Perk, watching the Knicks last night get a win at home, I still have so many questions about the Knicks. Like, I don't understand why Kemba Walker does not play in fourth quarters. I know he can't sustain it, but it seems like they should beat the Knicks, obviously, I mean the Lakers. But it seems like there's some issues there with roles and substitution patterns. Have you been seeing any of that with the Knicks?
I have. And you know, with me playing four Tibbs as an assistant in Boston for 2.5 years, one thing about Tibbs is, if you don't defend, but if you're not putting up 30 on a consistent basis and you're not defending, you're not going to play. And that's why I wasn't really high, one of those guys that were high on Kemba Walker, going to the Knicks. Like, I was like, he doesn't move the needle, because I cover and I watch all the Boston Celtics games. And I watched Kemba last year, and I watch how he was a liability on the defensive end. So at the end of the day, when the Knicks are struggling offensively, they're a team that hang their hats on the defensive end to get stops. That's who Tom Thibodeau is. And so when he doesn't get down there and is able to get up over screens, able to sink and field, do all the things that he needs to do to affect the game. Tibbs is going to roll with somebody else that he could trust on the defensive end that could just go out there and give him 15 points and put the ball in somebody else's hands to get buckets.
On the other hand, talking to Kendrick Perkins here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. On the other hand, Perk, if you don't look at Kemba Walker as, oh, this guy will be the difference maker, but just another piece, the Knicks have a lot of dudes like that. Kemba and Barrett and Derrick Rose and Quickly, and like they got a lot of pieces they can throw at you for a Thibodeau team that's going to play with a high intensity. Do you think the Knicks have enough depth to compensate for the fact that they don't have that big-time star player? Apologies to Julius Randle, who showed you in the playoffs he's not a one option in
but
the playoffs.
But Perk, Emmanuel Quickley has been that man in the fourth quarter for the Knicks. And Alec Burks, half his points have came in the fourth quarter this entire season.
Yep.
So like, I don't understand why those guys don't get a lot more burn if you don't see that defensive tenacity with Kemba.
Well, I think it's going to come, Jay. And here's the thing about Tibbs. Whether you're winning or losing, he's not going to stay consistent with his lineups because Tibbs is all about matchups. That's how he always been. He's about matchups. His biggest thing is we'll figure it out offensively. Somebody will get going. But defensively, that's how he is. But here's the thing. We have to realize this. Last year, the Knicks were hunting. This year, they're the hunted. Now, I'm not saying they're a favorite to win the championship, but all I'm saying is that they heard the teams around the league heard everyone talking about, you know, New York is back, the Garden is rocking. Everybody watched the Knicks go to the playoffs. So now what's happening is that although they're not a title favorite, every single night they're still going to get guys best or good shot every single night because one, people enjoy playing in the Garden. They want to play in the Garden. Two, they know what the Knicks are capable of doing. So now you're not just this team that everybody's walking in and saying, oh, this is the old New York Knicks of old. We're going to just get this dub. We overlooking this game. No, now this game actually matters.
Yeah. Boy, if you're hunting the Knicks and you chase them down, there's not a lot of meat on that bone. I mean, you may have that's not a big wildebeest. That's a little skinny one.
And all right. Schedule-wise, they're going into murderer's row right now.
Yeah, yeah, here it comes. Up. That is Kendrick Perkins on the Goodyear Hotline. Great to hear from you as always, Perk. Appreciate it.
All right, Big Perk.
All right, my brothers. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. History made without even playing a game. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Heather Dinich joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, guys. Where are the mashed potatoes in your meals? Come on.
No, you're pushing it
around on your plate.
Heather,
stop.
Heather, we got to talk about, are you getting ready for your pumpkin pie with Cool Whip? Are you getting ready?
Cool Whip. Whipped cream, Cool Whip.
Jay and Key about to try to tell me that pumpkin is the same thing as sweet potato and yams. They're all the same thing. All right.
Oh, you guys. It's a good thing that you don't have to rank your top four for Thanksgiving dinners. You'd never come to a consensus.
What was your reaction, speaking of consensus, to the committee putting Cincinnati in the fourth spot? First time ever, Heather.
Historic. Not surprised, though. Everything is lining up for Cincinnati this year. There's been so many upsets. They're still undefeated. I mean, they won big against SMU on a day when Oregon and the Pac-12 once again did a face plant. So it all made sense to me for 1 through 7.
What is the worst case scenario for the Bobcats at this moment, though? Bearcats.
That's all right. The worst-case scenario is to be number four, finish undefeated, and get the gut punch of dropping out because Oklahoma State wins the Big 12 and finishes a one-loss Big 12 champion. I mean, I really can't think of anything worse and also more realistic, because when you look at Oklahoma State, one thing I think that people kind of snoozed on last night was Selection Committee Chair Gary Barta pointing out in the teleconference, and Therese Davis, that Cincinnati was measured against the teams it's in a group with, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, but they also compared them in the group below them, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State. They compare these teams in pods, and they vote on them in pods. And there is a very real possibility that Oklahoma State can, in the end, jump Cincinnati. Conference championship games are the final piece of the puzzle, and we've seen them change the top four in the past. We've seen TCU drop from 3 to 6. And when you look at Oklahoma State's opportunities against Oklahoma, which is a top 10 team right now on Saturday, and then again in the Big 12 championship game, whether it's Oklahoma or Baylor, you're looking at punctuating a resume with two top 10 opponents, whereas Cincinnati has a chance to beat number 24 Houston. Not bad, not great, but that could be the difference in the end.
Heather, with that being said then, why did the committee have Notre Dame at 6 ahead of Oklahoma State?
So Notre Dame is a team that is probably one of the most improved teams in the country. They're still a long shot in my mind because they don't have that conference championship game. And I think that ultimately they could be jumped and probably will be by the Big 12 champion, assuming that it finishes with one loss. But the Irish have just done so much better. The problem for Notre Dame is that they looked great against Georgia Tech, a 3-8 team, and they end their season on Saturday against a 3-8 Stanford team at Stanford. They should win big because both of those teams aren't very good, but the committee likes them because of how much they have improved, particularly offensively throughout the season.
Can Alabama still get into the Final Four if they lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game with two losses?
They can. I certainly wouldn't eliminate that possibility entirely. It depends on what else happens. What if Cincinnati loses? What if there's a two-loss Big Ten champion? You know, all of those factors combine to help answer that question. But, guys, I'll also point out the possibility that Alabama could lose to Auburn on Saturday. It's a rivalry game. We don't know what's going to happen. They should not lose that game, but they could. And if they do, then that puts Alabama in a position where they absolutely, positively have to win the SEC and beat the number one team in the country. Then you see a two-loss SEC team in the playoff, for sure.
I'd rather take Alabama with three losses than watch Notre Dame get drug again.
Well, look, that's a fair point. And when you look at Notre Dame statistically, as far as how it compares against the other teams above it, offensively, they're 35th in the country right now. Every other team ranked ahead of them is better than that. Baylor is better than that. Ole Miss, Oklahoma, they're all better than that. But I do think that they have shown improvement. They don't have enough. I think you're right. They might get beat pretty bad. But guess what? Cincinnati might too.
That is Heather Dinich, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Eckrich Smoked Sausage, the real MVP of any tailgate. Pick it up at your local grocer. Thank you, Heather, as always. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys. Same to you.
So who do you guys want to see in that fourth spot? We know Key doesn't want to see Notre Dame. We know that, Key. You want to see Cincinnati? Two-loss Alabama?
I'll take two-loss Alabama.
Not me. I don't want any two-loss team in the playoff. Oklahoma State?
No. No, I don't want to see Oklahoma State. That doesn't – I like it the way it is right now. Let's just hope that those four continue to keep winning.
I agree. I think that's right. I like the top four right now. I wish – if the playoffs started today, Jay, I'd be happy. What about you?
That's fine. I mean, you guys, you're going to get what you want to see Cincinnati drubbed by – I don't know why I keep saying drubbed today when it's drugged.
Dragged?
Yeah, dragged.
Drug.
Whatever, the D word, whatever.
No,
the D
drubbed
word.
Is good. It means
drubbed,
beaten.
Yeah, sure, drubbed down by Georgia. So, I'm cool just with the top three. Those are the top three premier programs of football right now in today's game.
No, honestly, guys, I agree. And I'm glad Cincinnati is four just because I think they deserve it.
Great.
But I got to say.
You got to know when you're looking at this, right, it's good football, power five teams. You got the Georgias, the Ohio States, the Alabamas. Hell, put Oklahoma State in there just for giggles, whatever the case may be. If that's what you want to do, do it. But Cincinnati will deserve the right to pop one of those teams, much like we've seen in the past in situations where the underdog, non-power five schools have gone on to upset big-time programs. I go back to the Fiesta Bowl with Oklahoma and Boise State and Bob Stoops. They were rolling high-flying. Oh, they're going to – all of a sudden, Boise State rolls up in there and pop them. Or you look at the lightweight Pac-12 team like an Oregon State with Chad Johnson and T.J. Houshmandzadeh goes and plays Notre Dame. Oh, power Irish. Here we go. We're going to do it again. Boom. Slapped around. Or you look at opening kickoff, Appalachian State, Michigan. This one ought to be a real runaway for the Wolverines. To this day, we still talk about that victory in the regular season in Ann Arbor. Appalachian State, a Division I AA school, pops the Michigan Wolverines. There's something special about watching a Cincinnati team take on a Georgia team. They can't, you know how it is, Max. On this just in, there's no way they can beat them. I'm Max Kellerman. There's no way that Cincinnati can stand tall against Georgia. And then all of a sudden, it's 28-24 with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it. And that's why I like Cincinnati there, and I think they deserve it. My big takeaway from all this, though, is, again, when was the last time this late in the season, at least I'll speak for myself, was I thinking, and I know others are too, but I won't speak for you two, was I thinking, you know what matchup I really want to see for the national title? I want to see the Ohio State offense against the Georgia defense. That's what, I can't remember the last time I thought, this is the matchup I want to see, and Alabama was not included. So, if they, I know Alabama's amazing and everything, but at this moment, they're not one of the teams I want to see in the national title game, and that's remarkable because it's always the case that they are. Notre Dame, by the way, being a bad playoff team. Is that reputation that Key is reacting to, or reality?
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Some guys have that reputation.
Yeah, I wrote a book as a rookie, just give me the damn ball, and then all you idiots ran with it and made it feel as though I was a problem in the locker room. Or maybe it's the reality of it.
It's time for Rep versus Reality.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers and your podcast. Subscribe, download the podcast. All right, you know what? It is time to play Reputation versus Reality. Evan?
Yes, Reputation versus Reality is brought to you by DraftKings. Sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and use code KJM to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. Jeez. See DraftKings.com for details. Yep. Let's go. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow, so cranberry sauce needs to be homemade. Is that reputation or reality? Keith?
Reputation. And nobody wants cranberry, homemade cranberry sauce with big old giant cranberries in it. Get some Ocean Spray can, nicely, thinly sliced, right where the ridges are, and you good to go.
I don't know about that, Keith. That might be reality for me. My mom made a crazy cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. Crazy cranberry sauce from scratch. I'm talking about it tastes like the same thing.
How did you phrase it, Evan? Let me hear the phrasing again.
Cranberry sauce needs to be homemade.
No, okay. Okay, that is reputation. It is much better when it's homemade, but you can get by when it's not homemade.
It's
it doesn't need
better.
To be homemade.
Oh, God, no.
All right, let's go a little football here. Notre Dame would be a bad college football playoff team. Is that reputation or is that reality?
Reality. Have you watched them in any bowl games or playoff games at all, which I know you have? They stink. They get run through every single time. People don't even come up for water or air, better yet, when they play against them. They take turns.
You smell that, Jay? That's hatred, rivalry,
so
hatred.
Personal.
Yeah, so
I respect
personal.
Them,
oh,
it might be
personal, and I'm going to make it more personal if you like me to.
Yeah, let's hear it. I want to hear it. Yeah.
The tarnished dome.
Oh.
Ooh. It's almost like we got to get someone who went to Notre Dame on the show just to balance
Evan,
that one out.
I don't have a take on this. I think Key's take speaks for the whole team.
Yeah, I do have a take. I think that's reality. Notre Dame's one of those national brands. Everyone, and Key, yes, I know not everyone in reality, but like a lot of people around the country want to be good. It reminds them of the good old days, but they're not. Not at that level, so I think it's reality.
What good days? They had one good year with Tony Rice and Bettis in them. Stop!
Notre Dame's a national brand, though. Key.
Oh, God, they did.
Notre Dame had fans all over the country.
They bamboozled NBC to get the TV deal, and everybody goes crazy about Notre Dame.
That's what I'm saying. They go crazy about them. It might be reputation or reality that they're not good in under those circumstances. It's also reality. They got a national following.
So tired of them.
Lakers are a title contender. Is that reputation or reality?
Oof, I mean, that's reputation right now. I mean, that's all reputation right now. I mean, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And just like we had that conversation with Perk, when I watch them play, I don't know what their identity is. I think they're going to have to make major moves by the trade deadline to get some other pieces in play before I can say they are a legit title contender.
I think that's
I would say it's reality. They are legit title contenders. Every team that are title contenders, for the most part, have to figure things out. And they're no different than anybody else. Without LeBron James, they will not be title contenders. With LeBron James, they're certainly title contender.
I think it's reality that they're title contenders by the time the playoffs roll around, if they stay healthy. Because as I've kept saying since they got him, Russell Westbrook will not look good for half a season. So the Lakers won't look good either. Just wait till the second half of the season. Everyone will be singing a different tune. This happens every year with Westbrook. If they're healthy, they're title contenders by the time that time rolls around.
Jason Garrett is a bad coach, Max. Reputation or reality?
Reality. Like, you got to show me where he has success coaching. You know, like, the Dallas Cowboys knew it. They're like, all right, y'all, you have everything you need now. So it's either the coach or the quarterback that's the problem here. The quarterback wants, you know, to be paid at the top of the market. They watched it, and they said, oh, yeah, sorry, it's the coach. Yeah, here's your money, Dak, and see you later, Garrett. And he shouldn't even lasted most of two seasons with the Giants. It's reality.
It's certainly reality. I mean, just take a look at Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant won't let up on Jason Garrett. For whatever reasons, Dez Bryant continuously goes in on him to the point where he tweeted at Kadarius Toney to tell him his life is going to be much easier as an NFL wide receiver. He can enjoy playing football now because he no longer has to deal with JG.
I mean, that's the reality. Come on, when you have all these weapons and you can't create a high-octane offense and we're still saying that you're predictable with all these special pieces, that speaks for itself.
Stay in New York. Zach Wilson is the Jets' franchise quarterback. Reputation or reality?
It's reality. They drafted him number 2 overall. He's their franchise quarterback. They're paying a guy $30-something million of guaranteed money. It's reality.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, he's starting quarterback. I think the caveat should be for now.
Yeah, it's reality, but Evan, when you say franchise quarterback, you must consider the franchise. Right. He is the Jets' franchise quarterback.
Fair.
Yes.
I think the biggest thing that's hurting the Jets and Zach Wilson right now is BYU lost him and they're still in the top 15. Andy Reid has a good coaching tree. Is that reputation or reality, guys?
Think about that one.
And who's his tree?
So here's his tree. Brad Childress, John Harbaugh, Steve Spagnuolo, Leslie Frazier, Ron Rivera, Pat Shurmur, Todd Bowles, Doug Peterson, yeah. Sean McDermott, Matt Nagy, David Culley all worked under Reed and then became head coaches in the NFL.
I would say reality.
Reality.
Yeah, reality. It's a mixed bag as head coaches.
I would say reality in the fact of you got a couple Super Bowl winning coaches on there, appearing coaches on there. Long-time coaches in the National Football League, everybody is not going to have a Bill Parcells tree where everybody is just ultra successful.
That's
agreed,
reality.
I think. Yeah. If you see those names and you're familiar with them all over the league to one extent or another, Jay, it's got to be reality that that's a good coaching tree.
And
right?
I believe a high number of them have had multiple jobs, right, Evan? Like they've been hired – couple times.
Yes, and Leslie Frazier, who's on that list, Todd Bowles might get second shots as well. Last one, guys, 30 seconds. The turkey is necessary at Thanksgiving. Reputation or reality?
Reality.
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 You have to have the turkey, so even if you don't eat it, it just looks right.
Yeah.
Don't get the draft confused because Max had the first pick that nobody else could take a turkey.
Right.
Everybody needs a turkey at their Thanksgiving.
Right.
Even if you don't eat it.
Yeah, and I eat it. By the way, this whole thing like, oh, you only like turkey on Thanksgiving. Nope, I love turkey, especially deep-fried
turkey.
You
are a turkey.
Keys, gobble, real gobble, rankings gobble. For the Giants quarterback next season. Who should they pursue? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.